prove our love to you. And then because of that, we want to understand what you mean by keeping your commandments. Oh Lord, on the surface, that might seem obvious. But Lord, give us some insight, deeper understanding of your word tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The study question for this evening, the Old Testament law is a burden because we do, or no, the study question. You know what? I just wrote the answer down. Does anybody have the study question? You got a bulletin there? Somebody got it? Read it, Della. Can you read it for us all? All right, good. Thank you. What do you think about that? Are the commands of Christ, are they putting us back under a burden? Are they a burden to carry out? No? Explanation? Okay. Why aren't they grievous? Why aren't the commands of Christ grievous? Yeah, people don't understand that, do they? They think a lot of times the commandments are just negative things. They don't understand that they're there for their good. And God means to bless us and not to put any undue pressure or stress or certainly let any harm come to us through those. Anyone else?
He regenerates our heart and their power at salvation. Turns our heart of stone to a heart of flesh. And instead of being burdened to do the law or to keep the law, he's saved, which Paul is getting.
Right, yes. Yes. Very good. Very good. I like your comment there that you can't keep the commands in order to be saved. You can't do it. If you tried, that would be an excessive burden, wouldn't it? What was the purpose of the Old Testament law? What was its purpose? Yes, that's right. Well, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And actually, the schoolmaster is not the teacher. The schoolmaster was a trusted servant that made sure the child got to and from school safely every day. And so the law is not the teacher. The law is the vehicle that God uses to bring us to salvation, to get us safely to the point of salvation. Paul said he would not known sin. He wouldn't had known what sin was if it hadn't been for the law, right? He didn't know lust until the law said, thou shalt not covet. Okay, then he understood the law, and he saw that he was a sinner. Now, was he still a sinner, even though he didn't know the law? Was he guilty, even though he didn't know the law? I was telling my kids that this week. One time I had gotten a ticket for speeding, and I honestly thought the speed limit was 50 miles an hour. I didn't see the sign where it dropped down to 35. And so I got pulled over for speeding. Debbie was with. We weren't married at the time. And he said, do you know what you were doing wrong? I said, No, I have no idea. He said, you were speeding. I wasn't speeding. The speed limit sign said 30 or 50. I was going 50. He said, no, there was a sign back there a little ways where it had dropped to 35. Was I guilty of speeding? Yes, I was guilty of speeding. I got a ticket to prove it. But even though I didn't know the law, I was still guilty. So the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But as it has been pointed out, because of our inability to keep it, really it was a death sentence upon us. That's what it was. And then Christ, did he do away with the law? What did he do? He fulfilled it, right? He fulfilled the law. He redeemed it, redeemed us from its curse. And then, as Steve pointed out, he put a new love in our heart so that we could desire to keep his commandments. Along with that love, he gave us faith and he gave us grace. And 1 John chapter 5 says, whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And he said, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Okay. Now, does this mean that God is unconcerned about our sin? Because we have this new commandment, we are under grace. Does that mean that God is unconcerned about sin in our lives?
According to Romans 3:31, it says that faith does not make void the law.
Okay, good.
Faith does not make void the law. Murder is still wrong now, just like it was 3,000 years ago. Adultery is still wrong now, just like it was 3,000 years ago. God's law, his moral law, is still the same.
Yes. Very good. That is right on. Anyone else? Becky. Yes. Okay. Okay. Good. Good. So, Bob.
A couple of months ago, I went into Voiceville at 45 miles an hour, and the speed limit was 45 miles an hour, but there was a change to 35 miles an hour, which I didn't notice. And so, the policeman picked me up and said, "If you were 12 miles." but he said, but if you were 12 miles over, I would write you off and you'd have to pay a ticket. But at 10 miles over, I'm just going to verbally warn you this time. But don't go back again. Now, as far as I'm concerned, and I don't have any right to answer, as far as I'm concerned, I wasn't guilty of anything, but it sure would have been next time.
Okay.
Is that all right?
You were warned. Yeah. I heard those NAP cops are tough. Cops are tough. Oh, this is Boyceville. All right. I've never been stopped in either place, so I make sure I tow the speed limit going through there. Now, when we were in South Dakota, there was no stop signs in Harriet. Well, they decided they were going to put up a stop sign in this one part of town. Nobody stopped at that stop sign. I don't know if it was just, out of habit they weren't going to stop or they were just being obstinate, but nobody would stop at that stop sign. So eventually, the policeman got tired of pulling people over. And they took down the stop sign. Now, let me ask you, does that work with God? If enough people are breaking the law, is God going to change the law? If enough people are breaking his command, is he going to change the command because that's what the people want? He's not going to do that, is he? So we have some liberty, right, when we become a Christian. But Paul said that we should not use our liberty as an occasion for the flesh, right? Don't use it as an excuse to sin. And just because Paul said, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound, does not give us the license to continue to sin. Because he says, shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? God said, or Paul said, God forbid, right? How can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So we're not to use our liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love we are to what? That's right. We are to serve one another. And if we realize that the commands that Jesus gave us are twofold, they are so that we can love God, show our love to God, but then also our love to our fellow man, to love each other. Okay? That really is the purpose of all of the commands of Christ. Any thoughts? Bill. Well, that makes me feel better already.
I guarantee you, that stop sign went out there, it won't happen tonight, probably. But I'll bet you, if there was a policeman out there, he could write many tickets from everybody leaving the church here when he go out there to that stop sign. Well, if they don't stop, they'll go up to it and ease up there every time they go. And they're not stopped. Well, do we see them the same way? Hmm.
Ouch. Yeah.
A little bit.
Good point.
I would say that we are so fortunate to live in the dispensation of grace. And back in the Old Testament, there was a lot of do's and don'ts. And even if you touched somebody that had died, you were unclean. I think it was for 7 days. And when people sinned, they had to kill an animal. And there were several. I was wondering through the years what animal they really used. But today I was looking through it, and there was the goats and the lambs and the pigeons and the bullocks and the turtle doves. And there were so many things that they could use. And I realized
yes.
Once for us. But in the Old Testament, it was animal after animal that had to be offered. And there were a lot of do's and don'ts in the Old Testament that we do not have to follow. In fact, they accused Jesus of the Sabbath day because he healed on the Sabbath. They ate corn on the Sabbath. They did a few things on the Sabbath that
well, you know, when Moses had to climb a mountain to get the Ten Commandments, he got the letter of the law. One day, Jesus climbed another mountain, and he gave the spirit of the law. We don't live by the letter of the law anymore. We live by the spirit of the law. And doing good, healing the man on the Sabbath day, did not violate the spirit of the command to keep the Sabbath day holy. Even the woman caught in the very act of adultery, the law said she should be stoned. Jesus never violated the law. He said, let you who are sinless, without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. Because the first stone usually meant death. But to prove that Jesus was following the spirit of the law, he said to her, go and sin no more. Right? He didn't say, go ahead and continue in your lifestyle. He said, go, but don't commit this sin anymore. Don't sin anymore. Dad?
Here in America, I don't think there's any one person that knows all the laws. There's 10,000 laws to enforce 10 commandments, but they just passed in the law 1,900 pages. Even Congress, who passed it, didn't read it. Now, we can all be guilty of breaking any one of those thousands of commandments that they have. Every time we go into a restaurant, the restaurant is breaking the law. The state of Wisconsin states that every restaurant in Wisconsin is supposed to serve free of charge cheese to every person.
Really?
Because we were promoted as a cheese state. How many restaurants do it? None.
Not free.
No. They could all be shut down because of that.
Huh. Interesting. I'm glad God doesn't put anything like that in his word. I go back to Bill's analogy here, the stop sign out here. He said that if there was a policeman watching, we would all stop, right? Even if we're not used to stopping there, not completely. If there's a policeman stopping there or sitting there, we're going to stop. Why is that? Because the law is watching, right? Do you know that when we violate the commands of Christ, the law is watching? God is watching. And the reason that we stop is because we fear the law. We fear the consequences of the law. You know, Christians have lost the fear of God. And until we get that fear back, we're not going to reverence his commands like we should. And what we have to do, though, is not to be afraid of him, but also out of love. Couple the fear of the Lord and the love of the Lord, and I think that we'll be able to follow his commands. Della?
When I was a young person, my dad always used to tell me, even if you're where mom and I can't see you, God can see you.
Yes.
How many kids were ever told that? I believed it. And I knew
I believed it too. I still do. And I often think about that. I grew up, probably as many of you, that going to movie theaters was wrong. You know, that's the way I was brought up. But I'm not going to get in the comment discussion whether it's good or bad. But to this day, if I go see, when I went to see The Passion of the Christ, I felt guilty. Right or wrong, I felt guilty for being in the theater because it was ingrained in me as a child, you will not go to the theater and watch movies. So, yes, I know what you're talking about. The Lord is watching. And my grandma always said to me, whatever you're doing, would you want to be caught doing that if Jesus is going to return? If Jesus would have returned, would you want to be doing that? So I always think about that. Can't help it. No? Yes. Should I or shouldn't I? Yeah. All right. Yes, sorry.
And my dad went one step farther. He said, you're coming out of a place that you shouldn't have been in. And you knew. You didn't do it. I believe you. You didn't do anything wrong when you were in this place. But what if you stepped out and somebody happened to be driving by that you had tried to tell about Jesus?
Yeah.
You've blown your testimony.
Yep. That's where your influence comes in.
Yes, just like you said.
Yep. You don't want to do anything to ruin your influence. Anyone else? All right, well, let's get through a couple points tonight here anyway. Keep Christ's commands. Keep my commands. The first thing is to do what it says, to keep my commands. Although maybe it's not as obvious as we might expect. During the days of wind-driven ships, the captain struggled to steer his vessel as fierce winds and high-rolling waves pushed the tall ship off course. Thick, dark clouds closed in around the ship for several days. The captain knew he was far off course, but had no way to correct it until one night when a patch of clear sky became visible. He quickly got his sextant and calculated the latitude and longitude of the ship's position by identifying the location of the stars. He was then able to determine where he was and in what direction he needed to go to get back on course. I think the commands of Christ can be used in a similar way. They're like dependable lights. They give us a reference point that we can follow as we go through the course of life. We can easily see the benefits that Jesus intended us to have when he commanded, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, I want you to know that the Bible makes a distinction between keeping God's commands and obeying them, or doing them. They're actually two different things. Both words are used in the Old Testament. One example is found in Leviticus 22:31, where it says, "Therefore shall ye keep my commandments and do them, I am the Lord." So to keep them and to do them must be two different things if he talks about them in two different ways. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, the Greek word translated keep is tero, which means to guard from loss or injury properly by keeping the eye upon them. So just as a sea captain could ensure that his ship was going in the right direction by keeping his eyes on the stars, okay, by watching the stars, so we keep Christ's commands by keeping our eyes on them for daily decisions. Do you know what I'm saying? We keep them before our eyes. That is different than actually obeying them. We need to be aware of them. We need to keep them in front of us so that they can give us direction and, so we can take the right course in life. Now let me ask you, how do we do this? How do we keep Christ's commands before our eyes? If we're going to do them, first of all, we have to keep them before us. How do we do that? How do we keep them? Anybody got any ideas? Yeah, first of all, do you understand the distinction here that I'm making? Yes? No? I'm not sure. You're not sure either? Okay, let's put it this way. Keeping means to observe, to watch. Doing requires action. We are to watch them, look at them, and we are also to do them. How do we watch them? How do we observe them? By looking at the Word, okay? By looking at His commands, reading His commands. Very good. Clarice? Okay. But how often, let's be honest, how often do we get our Bibles out and begin to read through the Gospels looking for the commands of Christ? Steve? Okay, that's a good thing. How do you hide them in your heart, though? Memorize them. That's a good way. Yes. 49. Why are you smiling? Get creative, all right? If you want me to give you a printout of them, I did when we started this, but it may not, you don't have any more. If you want a printout of all 49, I'd be glad to give them to you. Okay, you can memorize them. You can read the Word, look at them. Put them on your refrigerator. Yeah, that's a great place. You know, all those magnets that they give you, They give them to you so you could put them on the refrigerator, because how many times do you go to the refrigerator every day? You've got a lot of things on your refrigerator. Steve? Sure. Yep. You stole my verse.
Oh, did I?
Good job.
I didn't see anything
about the preacher. No. But that's what the Pharisees did. You know, they had these phylacteries. They had them tied to their forehead. They had the commands in there. They had the law in there. But also, teach them to your children as you go through life. Really, that's what it's talking about. As you go through life, there are opportunities to teach your children the commands of Christ. You know, here's a way that you can keep the command. Or here's an example of someone that broke one of the commands and look at the consequences. Okay? When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Okay? And then write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates. Just different ways, creative ways that you can think of to keep the commands before your eyes. Okay? This is important because keeping Christ's commands is not optional. It's essential for success and for the well-being of our entire lives. If we're told to keep the treasures of a great king, wouldn't it be logical, first of all, to take an inventory of all those treasures? Write them down, know what they are. Do you know that the kings in the Old Testament had to have their own copy of the law? They had to write the entire law out by hand so that they would have a copy. I guess that's another thing that we could do, you could do, is literally write out your own copy. I could give you a copy, and then you could write out your own copy of the commands of Christ. Because, you know, if you write things down, you're more willing to remember them, are you not? So some way to identify them on a regular basis. Second thing, gain rewards from commands. On August 17th, 1896, George Carmack and Sukhum Jim Mason made a discovery that would send shockwaves around the world. Tens of thousands of men dropped what they were doing, grabbed a few personal belongings, and rushed off to the Yukon Territory in northwest Canada. Of the prospectors who began the rugged trip, relatively few finished the journey. Many died along the way as a result of exposure to the bitter cold, hunger, or disease. Yet the stampede continued until Dawson City became a quote, overnight town of more than 30,000 people. Many made great sacrifices, however, few actually struck it rich in the Klondike gold rush. In contrast to that, God says that his commands are to be desired more than gold, more than much fine gold. And whoever gains the true riches will never be lost. Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. Let thine eyes keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. You know, there, with the treasures of this of this world, can come hardship. But with the treasures of God's word, there is no hardship. Instead, there's length of days, long life, and peace. I think so, that's some things that everybody wants, everybody longs for. Now, I think that as we keep the commands of Christ before our eyes, we will find that the greatest discovery, the greatest treasure there is Christ himself. He is the Word. Is he not? He is the Word. He is the consuming goal of Paul's life. As Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Christ's commands express his true nature. His true nature is love. All of his commands are practical and precise expressions of love to him. And so Jesus promises, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Love is the most powerful force on the face of the earth. Love is even greater than faith and hope. Now abideth these things, faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity. The greatest is love. It's the most powerful force on the face of the earth. And so we show our love to God by keeping his commands. And if we keep his commands, God promises to reward us in four ways. Okay? This makes it all the worthwhile. Four ways God promises to reward us if we simply keep his commands before our eyes. And all of us can do this. Number one, God the Father will love us. John 14:23. We will be loved of the Father. Number two, Jesus will love us. We'll be loved of the Son. John 14:21. Third thing, God will complete us in, complete his love in us. He will complete his love in us. 1 John 2:5. And God will love us, or love others rather, through us. God will use you to show his love to others, 1 John 5:2. Now, on top of all of that, knowing God and experiencing his incredible love, there's also the promise of prayers answered. 1 John 15:7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. 1 John 3:22. John wrote, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And I know Brian covered these in Sunday school one day. He had a whole list. He did a great job. But practical, God's commands, Christ's commands, are practical applications of God's law. And as Steve said, if we would memorize them, and then we could meditate, how do we keep them before our eyes as we lie down at night? You know, when we sit in the house, when we walk by the way, when we rise up in the morning, yeah, we could keep his commands before us. We could see in the light, but how do we do it in the dark? Because they're here, right? They're in the heart. As we memorize them, that we are able to meditate on them at night. They will result in good success. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Questions so far? Comments? You know what? I think we will probably just stop there.
Thank you.
Yes.
I know when the lady was passing out tracts when I was really young, I was probably 18, 19. And she looked at me and she said, "You are a Christian." And I said, "Yes, I am."
Hmm.
But sometimes people kind of look at us and tell that. And I suppose a lot of you have experienced that, which is really wonderful when people can tell you that, that you do know the Lord and that you serve the Lord.
Yes.
And I would like to say that I have a lot of poetry that I wrote myself that comes right to the point and explains a lot about living right and about the Lord and about hell. And it's wrote in a very kind way, and I think it really, for me, it's a lot nicer than tracts. And if anybody would want some, they're welcome, because it isn't showing people that you know more than them. Actually, it's just handing them something that once they read it, it's going to touch their heart.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And
yep.
You're welcome to let me know, and I'm glad you have copies of my poems to people that want to send them on.
Very good.
Last night, one of my boys wanted me to call one of his sons. I went in the kitchen and got the last poem I wrote, my testimony. And I brought it in, and I called him, and I couldn't get him. And I teased him at first that they were probably out painting the town, but then I read my poem over the phone because they weren't there. And I was able to give the whole poem over the phone. So when they got home, they would have found the poem. And I know sometimes I feel convicted. I stopped at Kmart one day, and of course I was thinking of my poems, because this guy had sat there for so long, and when I came back out of Kmart, he was still sitting there, and I felt I should give him a poem. So then I saw that Valerie was in a hurry, and I thought, well, I can't get him fast enough, I'll just let it go. And a voice spoke and said, "He's going to lose out." So I turned around and gave him one.
Oh, amen. Good.
I know they do, you know.
Amen. About knowing each other people are Christians, you know, his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're a child of God. I think also, you know, your spirit bears witness with my spirit that you're a child of God. And so sometimes you can just tell that that person is a believer, is a Christian, without them even saying a word. Your spirits communicate with each other. Don and Lowell went to see Marion. You guys got a report? How is she?
She's incoherent and laying in the bed.
Okay.
Sometimes I could understand a word or two, but other than that.
Okay. So that's, you know, she, when I left the first day, it was very clear. She said, "Thanks for coming." Yesterday, when I saw her, she seemed totally incoherent, and I didn't understand a word. Dave Gamble was telling me that last night, when he was there, she was more alert and able to talk and make sense. So I don't know what's going on, but she seemed, and Bill this morning said she was incoherent. So she's